Blog Talk Radio.
Lucifer, son of the morning, I'm gonna chase you out of earth.
Shabbat Shalom to the Mishpachah. This is a day that the Most High has made, and we shall rejoice. We do rejoice because we are happy about it. Sound the alarm. Art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, and may thy kingdom come, and thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Father, we thank you for these wonderful fall feasts, these high holy days. I thank you for the remnant that exists in the four corners of the earth. My brothers and sisters that are in Switzerland, Germany, Sweden, the Netherlands, Asia, Japan, Iran, Iraq, just brothers and sisters spread out everywhere that are yet keeping the statutes, laws, and commandments. May you increase them that are in impoverished lands or in the midst of these storms, trying to survive and just existing on faith right now, hoping for water, food, and that you'll sustain them. Give them the help that they need and let them know, as you said in your scriptures, you'll never leave us or forsake us. I've never seen the righteous forsaken or your seed begging bread. Bless them now in the name of Yeshua HaMashiach. Cause us to dissipate from the foolishness and to remove ourselves from the ways of this world and focus in on you with loving kindness and forgiveness. Baptize us afresh with your Ruach HaKadosh. We'll be careful to give your name all the praise. And we ask these things in the name of our brother, the Messiah, Yeshua HaMashiach. We thank you in advance. So be it. So be it. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Brothers and sisters, welcome to Blueprint for Life, brought to you here on Babylon Talk Radio, also known as Blog Talk Radio. I am V. Torah, joined by Sister Tamar Torah, and this is a day that the Most High has made, and we are also joined by the brother Katino. Shabbat Shalom, Brother D. Are you with us today? Oh, you got me on mute.
Okay. I'm sorry, I didn't have you on mute. Shabbat Shalom.
I knew you had me on mute. How you doing today, brother?
I'm doing fine on this blessed Shabbat today. I want to greet all the brothers and sisters out there and they're coming up for this Atonement, which is a glorious day. They get to get closer to the HaMashiach as we go into these high holy days.
Yeah, all praises to the Most High for the opportunity to be able to keep the Day of Atonement and where we atoned for our sins and for our brothers and sisters' sins. And as we mentioned last Shabbat, it's imperative that we keep these holy days. It's imperative. That is the sign between us and the Most High, and we're going to go into talking about tabernacles today, but tell us more about your atonement, brother. How did it go? Did you stay away from the cheeseburgers? You did good?
I did well. This is my second atonement, and so, I was ready for it, and I guess the only issue is wanting to go over and drink some water, but I held out on that or whatnot. But like I said, it was a blessed day. You know, and some of us, like you said, we're not holding anybody or judging anybody for when they have it. We had our Thursday night. Thursday night to Friday. Was it 27th? Yeah, 27th. We had.
Wednesday to Thursday.
Yeah, and there are those holding it starting last night till tomorrow, and I know some that are doing it Sunday. So there's no man on these days, on these days and times. Mine was great. I was happy that the Most High provided that to us to give us the time to atone for the things that we may have done over the past year, and you might not even realize that we've done. The Most High is merciful.
That's right.
But I enjoyed it.
Yeah, well said. And remembering that sin is transgressing the law. So every time we've made these mistakes, that's why he just asked us on that one day to fast for 24 hours and ask for forgiveness so that he can wipe the slate clean. And we talked about the... Sorry about that. My wife came over here hitting the piano key by accident.
Sound like you were at the circus or something.
Yeah. don't know what that was. I didn't even know this piano could do that. But anyway, yeah, you make a good point. And we talked about the fact, I think we talked about this in Ezekiel, the book of Ezekiel, that once we get into acts of righteousness, he wipes our past unrighteousness away. And then when we fall back into unrighteousness, you could actually end up wiping away your all the righteousness you've done. He'll forget that. He'll blot that out. So it's so important to understand that this is a must. I know we're in our captivity and some of us have to go to work. We understand that we're in our captivity, but we do the best we can do. It's important that if you know better, you do better. So if you didn't do good this year, and if the Most High lets you see another year, take your sick days off and your vacation days off on the holy days. Don't just take your vacation days to go take a vacation and do for yourself. Take it that serious and take some of your sick days and vacation days off on the holy days and rest and worship the Most High on those days. That's what that's my recommendation. That's my recommendation.
Exactly, because people take it, we have in the past taken time off for Christmas and Thanksgiving and all those holidays. Now we start taking time off for what really matters.
Right. You take it off for them hella days, but you won't take it off for the holy days. Mm-hmm. Let's take this. Let's show the Most High that we mean business and that we're serious and that we love him and put a value on it by telling your boss, I need to be off on this day right here. This is Atonement. This is Tabernacles. This is Feast Dedication. I know a brother that's doing it. He got himself all set, got his calendar straight, went to HR and took all those days off. Come on now. Where does your love lie? A trip to Paris, a week off of the plantation to celebrate the Most High. You know what I'm saying?
Exactly. And the thing is, you know, they'll be more willing to let you take off days for these types of things because they're Hebrew and whatnot. You know how they're always trying to please the Khazars. So he's taking the Hebrew holidays off. So you better let him have that. I remember back in the day watching baseball, Sandy Koufax would never pitch the first game because he had to take off the day for the Day of Atonement.
Oh, is that right?
Oh, yeah. He wouldn't pitch that first game because it was in the series because it started out with on Day of Atonement. And he took that day off. So, you know, because they're always trying to bless the people who they think is Yah's chosen.
Yeah, see, these Khazars are willing to take a stand more than some of you Hebrews that come into the knowledge that you are the true Israelites that came over here on slave ships. It's time for us to take a stand. We're going to talk about taking a stand today. And I don't want to get ahead of myself, but, you know, because Feast Dedication is coming up, and that's about the Maccabean brothers and their father and stuff.
Yeah.
But they took a stand. They took a serious stand, and we're going to have to prepare ourselves. But let me not get ahead. We'll get into that, some of that in the lesson.
Before you go on, and that is a powerful story because, you know, they killed one brother at a time, and the other brothers had to sit there while they were killing and torturing their brother, knowing that they were up next. That's really showing you love the Most High.
Yeah, their mama said, you know, die like a man, take a stand. And, you know, it's really getting ready to come down to it, brothers and sisters, that you're going to have to declare that you love the Most High. Many of us, the scripture tells us, will face a for sure death when this tribulation hits and Jacob's trouble hits in full force. You might be opted to, you know, die, get your head cut off, renounce the HaMashiach, Christ, renounce him, renounce what you believe in, renounce the commandments, or be forced to try to take a chip or a vaccination. Something may come about. So you need to start getting yourself in a mode of understanding what this is all about, where the rubber meets the road. This ain't no game. This ain't no joke. You know, even on the Shabbat. We're not supposed to even be using our own words on this day. We're supposed to take this serious, brothers and sisters. And if a Khazar you wish, dude, can say, I'm not playing baseball today, then surely you could take a stand. Because like we're saying, to take these holy days off, boy, your boss and them will be glad if you tell them, don't worry, I work on Christmas, Thanksgiving, and the 4th of July, because I don't celebrate them other days. You know?
Exactly. Exactly. And it may be troubling to hear, you know, for some that, you know, we are going to have to stand up and, you know, and possibly face death for, to stand up for the Most High, the HaMashiach. But, you know, yes, when you pray for courage and you just be ready to stay strong in that, because, you know, those days are coming. And they're just looking now with, you know, prophecy unfolding with all these disasters that happened. Everybody was all euphoric and happy about the eclipse. There was a moment of quietness, and now all of a sudden, this Harvey came, and then disasters are happening all over the world. And the Most High is showing us His hand, and these prophecies are being fulfilled. Along with that, and the rumors of war, I mean, it's there.
Right. It told us to not be amazed at the signs in the heavens. Let me find that scripture. We're not supposed to be all like, oh, I want to see the eclipse. You know, we weren't supposed to be focused on that, but you're absolutely right. As soon as they got through with that, boy, they unleashed a cavalcade of their man-made geostorms and have tried to leave Florida and Houston and Puerto Rico decimated. As a matter of fact, Puerto Rico, on my Facebook page, I put this up. Some of the Puerto Ricans are talking about how they're keeping the ships and trying to keep the airplanes out with the supplies.
Yeah. And the thing about that, the orange-haired one, you know, he's more concerned about Hebrews protesting in the NFL than these people down in Puerto Rico that have been devastated. You know what I'm saying? You know, don't worry about this little petty stuff. You know, do your job.
Right.
I mean, those people are devastated down there. You're worried about somebody taking a knee.
And we have no idea what's going on because they're giving us fake news clips. They won't let us see everything. And believe it or not, brothers and sisters, they can censor YouTube videos. So everything they're trying to upload down there, YouTube can block it and take it off by orders of the government and the president and the elite, so that you don't know the truth of what's happening to those people. So we got to pray for our brothers and sisters that are down there being decimated. We have no idea what's transpiring. Word is out that these homeless people that were caught in these storms have been thrown in FEMA camps and aren't coming out because they don't have nothing to go back to anyway. So let me read this scripture real quick based on what you were saying. Jeremiah 10, 2 and 4, thus saith the Lord, learn not the way of the heathen, and be not dismayed at the signs of heaven, for the heathen are dismayed at them. Verse 3, for the customs of the people are vain. Mm-hmm. For one cutteth a tree out of the forest, the work of the hands of the workmen with the axe, and they deck it with silver and gold, and fasten it with nails and hammers that it move not. That's your Christmas, that's your eclipse, that's the things coming on the earth. The heathen are dismayed. But us as Hebrews, we're not in shock. We don't worship no Christmas trees. We don't worship this earth or the things of this world. We worship the Most High Himself, because He's preparing us for what's coming, and we shouldn't be in shock if we believe Bible prophecy.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Yeah. Another place where to look for news at, if you look at, like on YouTube, Al Jazeera's, or go to Al Jazeera's website. You can get some information there that
Al Jazeera, they might show some different clips, and the BBC, they have pretty good news. They'll let some things slip through as well. Yeah. So as Brother Jacob say, the whore queen's newspaper.
The Daily Mail, because they showed some horrific views of the devastation of Puerto Rico, and also they talked to this this Hebrew over there also, and she was showing me the devastation that happened to her.
Right.
So yeah, they're places to look, you know, because you know what the especially the news here in this country, you know, they're gonna try and tell you what they want you to hear. Please.
Exactly. Exactly. Shout out to those brothers too down there in St. Louis. A lot of them will be starting, along with hundreds of thousands of other listeners that they have, will be going to the Feast of Atonement this evening. And we'll be going into the Feast of Tabernacles starting on this evening as well, which is actually, well, tomorrow evening we'll be kicking into our Feast of Tabernacles. And like Brother D said, shout out to everybody that's keeping these high holy days. This is what I want you to know, brothers and sisters. Keep it, most importantly. Okay, when he comes back and he puts us on one consent and gives us a pure language, he'll straighten it all out and put us on the right time. But let no man judge you in your holy days or your feasts. Most importantly, obedience and keep it, because these fall feasts are some of the most important. When Yeshua HaMashiach came the first time, he fulfilled the first of the feasts at the beginning of the Hebrew New Year, Passover. Pentecost, all that's been done. He's coming back to fulfill the other portions, like the Feast of Trumpets. That's signifying the return of our Mashiach. And what we're going to the Feast of Tabernacles, as we're going to talk about, he's going to come back and tabernacle amongst us and dwell with us. And the atonement will be the repentance that our people have during this season to prepare ourselves for us going into the kingdom. We'll be atoning in the wilderness, because many won't come out of the wilderness. There will be a remnant, though. So these fall feasts are glorious. Feast of Dedication that's coming. These are wonderful feasts. So I salute you for keeping them and not just making them like they're insignificant. All praises to the Most High.
All praises. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Sister Tamar.
Yeah.
You here?
I am here. You here?
Yeah, come on.
Okay, really quick. Shabbat Shalom, Brother D.
Shabbat Shalom, Sister
Tamar. Well, we're here once again. All praises to the Most High, another Shabbat. And I didn't get in with you brothers about the Day of Atonement, but which is one of my favorites. So it was really good.
Mm-hmm.
Gave me time to spend in the scriptures. I read 2 Ezra, right?
Yeah.
Read that and the Book of Jubilees.
Right.
And, man, let me tell you, that just spending time with the Most High as he's revealing things to you while you're repenting for your sins was amazing. So I had a really good Day of Atonement.
Sister Tamar got on me, Brother D, because I had a few sips of water, so she got on me.
I did.
You got to do that. I decided to get blessed, and I went through the Book of Revelations.
Brother D, I spent all day in the Book of Revelations myself.
Okay, well, we're on the same mind.
Well, let me tell you, the Book of Revelations and 2 Ezra talks about, you know, some of the things that are going to occur on the earth. So,
We were in sync. Revelations and Daniel and Esdras, where it's talking about the final days, the remote generation. So, you know, I encourage you, brothers and sisters, get your hands on as much information as possible. Don't refute certain books. Learn, read, allow the Ruach HaKadosh to reveal it to you, and rightly divide the word of truth, because there's so much information in these books that are talking about this generation.
I was reading, I think it was the Book of Jubilees, and I ran upstairs, and I said, it was crazy. In my mind, I was like, you know, I never read how Esau died. I knew how Jacob did, but then, and then soon as I started reading, I was like, hon, did you know this about Esau and Jacob, what happened? And he was like, yes, hon. But it's just, you know, when your eyes are open, the scriptures come alive. And it's like you're right there, like you're seeing it. And so all praise to the Most High. I get excited when I read these scriptures and get clear understanding of all.
What were you going to say, Brother D?
Well, and you mentioned about the other book. You know, we would be crazy to think that Abraham didn't didn't write letters, and Enoch, of course they wrote. And I was the Gospel of Thomas talks specifically about how the Pharisees would be hiding the keys of knowledge, and they're hiding some of these letters and some of these books, and they don't want the remnant to see these. They don't want y'all to see them. That was Yeshua talking about. That was Yeshua talking about how they would hide the keys to knowledge.
Right. Right. They try to demonize the books to keep us from doing research on the books. And, man, they were scribing back in the days like we text message today. They scribed everything. That's how they kept account of everything. And Esdras wrote over 200 books.
That's a good analogy. That's a good analogy.
Right. And not only that, we would be foolish not to believe that back in the day they did that. People are writing books during our time about their lives and what they see. So why would we be foolish to not believe that these men that walked on the earth, like Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, Enoch, and didn't have information and things that they wanted to share that would be passed down for generation to generation.
Right.
So we can't be so quick to say that this is outside of the Bible, does it exist? When we see it in our time, where there's scholars and people that are doing research and are writing stories, and we're reading it and comparing it with the Bible. So we have to be mindful and very careful on what comes out of our mouth against the Most High.
Yeah, because we know who decided what books to put and not put in the Bible.
Right. Right.
So in.
And while this world is telling you not to read the book, they making movie scripts about it and putting it in movies. And they didn't uncover all our history and all our words and books, and they making movies about it. You know, 300 and Giants and, you know, and they laughing at us, Star Wars and Matrix and all this stuff. They getting it out these books.
Right.
That's right.
And they're making money off the people. It's like, they're putting a spin on it and whitewashing it so you won't wake up.
Mm-hmm.
So you just have to be careful and mindful and not be so quick to go engage in conversation that's not conducive to you getting into the kingdom. If it's not about keeping the commandments and you're bickering and fighting, it's not going to get you in the kingdom. Why even go into a conversation like that? So.
Hallelujah.
But okay, so we're going to get to this area because I know Viva over here is ready to take off, so we'll start. So I did some research, and what I came about was the strawberry leaf. And you know, the strawberries that we eat, I used to get the strawberry and take the leaf off at the end and either throw it away or throw it on the ground, right, hon?
Yes.
Well, so I did some research, and let me tell you, that leaf, that green leaf that's on that strawberry has some very good healing properties for your stomach. It cleans out your stomach. It helps tone your appetite, and it also helps with rheumatoid arthritis, gout, joint pain, just that leaf. And so you can, you know, chew that leaf like you would chew like basil leaf, or you can dry it out and make it a tea. But before you go and kill that leaf from reading that strawberry, you need to eat all of it. And I think that's one thing I've learned with being with that bee is that, you know, the fruit, we take different, like me, I used to throw away seeds all the time in apples because I used to think, but why are they there? But that fruit has those things for purposes, and we should eat it and let it nourish our bodies. So that's my herb of the day is, not so much herb, it's a strawberry leaf. And so, go ahead.
Just tomorrow, what you throw that arthritis thing in there for me? For the old people?
I didn't. It's for this old man sitting next to me.
Don't think that gout don't be trying to flare up over here too.
But it has protein, it has amino acids, It's really for your stomach. The strawberry leaf is really for the stomach and arthritis, and basically that's what you see, joint pain. So do your research and everything. You make sure you just don't overdo it, but it has iron. It has vitamin C, and it just supports healthy bones. So and it also has been found to boost your immune system, so and fight infections and illness. So that's of the earth. That comes out of the ground. So we should make sure that we get that in our body and start letting some of these things heal our body. I'll make some quick announcements. Just like Brother V said, that we are going into the Feast of Tabernacles. All praises. He's going to touch on that today. So if you're not with someone, hopefully you can get with someone and celebrate this time. We should be coming together as brothers and sisters and really just celebrate. I mean, this is the time where the demon holidays are getting ready to come. And we really need to hold fast to what we know is true and get outside of these lies and not support them. And I know some of the Hebrews that are just coming into the knowledge of the truth, it can be very cumbersome trying to pull away from the Halloweens, the Thanksgiving, and the Christmas. But once you really pray to the Father and just stay focused and true to Him, it'll be easy. These holidays will come and they'll fly by like nothing. So I just ask that you guys, again, keep praying, staying in the Word, listening to the Blog Talk shows throughout the week. Tuesdays, Heart of the Hebrew, Most High Willing, at 6 p.m. Wednesday morning, Inspirational Wednesdays. Thursday or Friday, Elder V and men will do the Straight No Chaser, and then we're back here, Most High Willing, on Shabbat to bring the Shabbat lesson. So
Straight No Chaser, we'll go back to Thursdays because on Fridays we're not supposed to be using our own words, so I had to repent for that.
Right.
We're not supposed to be doing that on Friday. We're supposed to be in the Shabbat on Friday night.
And resting into Him.
Making
sure that we're doing everything.
That's something you say, how these hellish, here come those holidays, Thanksgiving, Halloween, Christmas, and you Hebrews going to be sitting up drinking that eggnog. Y'all better get straight.
Right. that's real talk, because we don't know when our HaMashiach is coming back, and I don't want him to come back, and I'm sitting up here dressed like a
handing out Christmas presents at the job.
Right, and saying happy holidays. You know, we have to be careful and use wisdom. And it doesn't take much to pull away from this world. It's just that it's just thrown in our face with the commercials and the lights and the people moving and the chaos. And that spirit is so deep that it tries to, but you have to rebuke it, and you just have to know that when all that's over, hallelujah, Passover is coming, which is ours, and these high holy days will start again. So enjoy these high holy days and just remove yourself from what's coming.
Right.
And I don't mind removing myself. I don't mind removing myself from the pagan holidays. I'm telling you, I'm glad to be off of them. Like I said,
Because you know what that means?
Okay.
There's more money in my pocket.
Exactly. People go into hock for these days, you know.
Right.
Come January, the credit cards all maxed out and everything else because, you know, they're trying to get presents for everybody. I'm glad to be out of it.
I am glad you're trying to act like you're Santa Claus hiding gifts and all. Oh, I'm so glad of that. That is over because nothing about the Most High was in that. Nothing at all. It's just foolish traditions.
Exactly.
And don't let yourself, Hebrews, get caught up at the job with the gift exchange.
Right.
That's a sneaky way of getting you to participate.
Right.
And, you know, you don't even want to eat that. A lot of that candy that they pray over for Halloween, they pray to Satan over that candy.
Right.
So don't get caught. Don't tip and slip. Come on now.
Right.
The rubber meets the road. Take a stand.
Right.
Take a stand. Most High is watching us.
Right.
He not going to do nothing. He's just looking at us to see what we're going to do. He's proving us.
Right.
So these little things that you think are insignificant, like one of my pet peeves I always talk about is the people that tell white lies. just a white lie. No, a lie is a lie. And Satan is the father of all lies. The Most High can't even lie. He can't even bring himself to lie. The reason Satan has control of this world right now, because the Most High has to keep his word, because we're in a court of law. And Satan is the accuser of the brethren. But thank God on the right hand, we got Christ making intercessions for us. So we're in a court of law, and he will not lie. He stands on the law.
Right.
And that's what we're talking about today. We're going to get into the law, statutes, and commandments, and a brief lesson.
Mm-hmm.
So those are the announcements, but I want to go also back to when you was doing health herb of the day.
Yeah.
I want to just say something about fasting. Also know that fasting can help to cure your body.
Right.
Because your body will begin to eat off of itself, and the cells will begin to destroy sicknesses inside of you.
Mm-hmm.
I heard Dr. Sebi talking about how he fasted for 20 days and his diabetes went away. After 20 days of fasting, the diabetes was gone.
Mm-hmm.
So know that sometimes stop eating this terrible food that we put in our body. The stuff we're eating is eating us alive. It's killing us. So we have to be mindful of that as well.
20 days, that's a long time.
That's a long time, but I mean, either you want to live or you don't want to live.
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, you can spend 20 days in the hospital and die. So,
yeah. So, well, still didn't beat the Hamashiach thing. Still didn't beat the Hamashiach fast though. 40 days and 40 nights.
Yeah. Yes, he did, and he had all power. He had all power. He was a little weak, but that's when he kicked off his ministry. So it's just like how.
That's when Hasatan felt emboldened to come at him when he was weak, figured, hey, this is the best time to get it. You know, because the first thing he did was pray on the fact that he was hungry and tell him to turn that stone into bread.
Mm-hmm.
But the Hamashiach stayed in the way.
The Brother D said 20 days is a long time.
Hey, you know what? You do what you have to if you want to live on this earth. So, shoot, 20, 10, 30, 40. We have to take care of our temple, right?
Yeah, exactly.
For most people,
I guess, is getting through that first week. And then after that, like I said, you can roll through it.
Man, with what's coming on this earth, there might be some days where we're going to be forced to fast.
Yeah.
We're going to be able to get our hands on food. Yeah, we might be like, I'm not eating the king's bread. They telling me the only way I'm going to get this food is I got to go into this FEMA camp and take this shot and
right.
this chip.
Right.
I'm not going.
And the thing about it, I was telling Elder V that once we were done with our fast, we were not hungry, but we fast. We try to fast on a regular basis, and so it didn't, I think around 10 o'clock my stomach started growling, but I just prayed and asked the Most High to take that feeling and that thought for food away, and he did, and so we were fine. I think after Batalman, we really were not hungry, so we have to fast to make
Brother
sure.
Yeah, Brother B mentioned that.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was amazing. I said, wow, I could actually go another day.
Right.
I'm not, my stomach's not growling,
no.
But that's the grace
right.
of the Most High. Once he starts to honor you and your sacrifice,
mm-hmm.
he'll give you that strength. Because I know that Moses and Yeshua HaMashiach, Jesus Christ, while they was fasting, I know they got into another place where they were supping with the Most High that they weren't even thinking about food. Now, it's been said, I'm not giving myself no glory, patting myself on the back, but it's been said that after a few days, and I experienced it once, that the hunger's gone, like after 3 days.
Right.
You're not even thinking about the
That's
food.
True. That's
it's
true.
It's not even like that.
Right.
So, we want to do that to keep our flesh up under subjection. A lot of y'all wrestling with lust. A lot of y'all wrestling with gluttony. A lot of y'all wrestling with, pharmakia drugs, whatever it may be. A time of fasting can help you with that. It can really help you with that. So,
as we mentioned when we were going through the patriarchs, that Joseph, he fasted, because this woman was coming so hard at him to get past that spirit of lust, he fasted. And that's what helped him get through that.
Right. Right.
Mm-hmm.
So people need to know the power of fasting.
Right.
And let me say this. This is a powerful scripture because they took it out of the NIV. They took this scripture out. Let me find exactly where it is.
And when we talk about some of these other writings, these are the writings for the 12 patriarchs. I mean, it told their story, each one of them. And, of course, that's not in the Bible, but still, those are things that we can go to be edified, because when you go through the story of Joseph, it really shows how what he had to do and how hard this woman was coming at him, and what he had to do to get by all of that.
Right. Exactly. To give him the strength.
It's not in the Bible, but they're out there.
Mm-hmm. That's true.
Matthew 17:21. Howbeit, this kind goeth not out, but by prayer and fasting. I guess I should go up so you know what kind he was talking about. He was talking about demons and spirits that we wrestle with. They don't go out but by prayer and fasting. And let me tell you what it was. It was Matthew 17:18. And Jesus rebuked the devil. Yeshua rebuked the devil, and he departed out of him. And the child was cured from that very hour. And the disciples came to Yeshua apart and said, how come we couldn't cast him out? And he said unto them, because of your unbelief. And verily I say unto you, if you have faith as the grain of a mustard seed. And then he goes into 21, he said, and also this kind only comes out but by prayer and fasting. On the part of the person praying, and on the part sometimes of the person that's struggling with the sickness or the demon, they have to fast. But you have to fast. So he showed them how he rebuked the devil, and he departed out of him. And let me say this, parenthetically, I'm going to pause. Let me say this. Understand that you can't negate the power of the book of Enoch that tells you where the demons come from and how they possess people. It was through the fallen angels, the watchers that slept with women and begat giants, and the giants that are dead, their souls and spirits are still wandering in the earth looking for people to possess and live in. And Yeshua's telling you how to cast them out and send them back into the swine.
Mm-hmm.
So that is where you understand the origin of these demons and how to keep them in control. Know that the demons and know that sickness is more afraid of you than you should be afraid of it. Hallelujah.
And that's why we don't give them the chance and open those portals and be delving in the stuff that is wicked like that. You know, whether you're talking about the tarot cards, the seances, Ouija boards, all that stuff, you don't give them a portal in order to possess you.
That's right. That's right. Stop wearing that star, because that's not the star of David. That's a star of Remphan. It's a hexagram.
Yeah.
Some of these tattoos y'all got on you is causing spirits to come about. Get them tattoos removed.
Wow.
You know, he already forgave you for it, but some of these tattoos are actually homages to demon spirits, and they're drawing demons upon you, and you're wrestling with crazy dreams at night, you know, and little statues in your house and pictures and all that stuff we have to be careful about. Not scared of, but be mindful
of.
We don't have no fear of Hashatan. He's already defeated. Let's talk about this Feast of Tabernacles, and then after that we're going to go into the protection through the statutes, laws, and commandments, how we're protected. Got a few precepts for that. And then we'll get back into... Wow, there's so much in protection that I want to talk about, because for protection, we're going to talk about various scriptures and the book of Numbers. We're going to talk about how Balaam was asked many times to try to curse the people of the Most High, and he couldn't curse them. He could not curse them, because you can't curse what's blessed.
Right.
Let's talk about the Feast of Tabernacles. Brother D, you up for a little reading?
Yes, I am.
Okay, Leviticus 23 and 34. Now, I want you to know that John 1 and 14, while he's getting that, says, and the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. What is it saying? That the first time he tabernacled amongst us is when he came and fulfilled the Passover and everything else. But he's coming back again, which is the Feast of Trumpets, signifies his return, and he's going to tabernacle amongst us after he conquers and destroys this land. He'll be with us again. So this Feast of Tabernacles is symbology for the importance of that and what is to come. His salvation is near to those who fear him. See, you're not saved yet. Christians going around talking about, I'm saved, sanctified, filled with you. You ain't saved. You'll be saved if you keep these laws, commandments, and statutes. Ezekiel 37:27 says, my dwelling place also will be with them, and I will be their God, and they will be my people. That's a prophetic prophecy about tabernacles. Luke 9:32 says, meanwhile, Peter and his companions were overcome by sleep, but when they awoke, they saw Yeshua's glory and the two men standing with him, just how he's going to be when he comes. In the beginning was the Word was Yah, and the Word was the Most High. So these are all scriptures that talk about him tabernacling with us, and I can't wait. Can't wait when he's going to sit down and reveal all the secrets to us.
Now, is it just 23:34, or do you want me to go further?
You can go all the way down.
Okay. Leviticus 23, verse 34. Speak unto the children of Israel, saying, the 15th day of this 7th month shall be the Feast of Tabernacles for 7 days unto the Most High. On the first day shall be an holy convocation. You shall do no servile work therein. 7 days ye shall offer an offering made by fire unto the Most High. On the 8th day shall be an holy convocation unto you. You shall offer an offering made by fire unto the Most High. It is a solemn assembly. Ye shall do no servile work therein. These are the feasts of the Most High, which ye shall proclaim to be holy convocation, to offer an offering made by the fire unto the Most High, a burnt offering and a meat offering, a sacrifice and drink offerings, everything upon this day. Besides the Shabbat of the Most High, and besides your gifts, and beside all your vows, and beside all your free will offerings, which ye give unto the Most High. Also in the 15th day of the 7th month, when ye have gathered in the fruit of the land, ye shall keep a feast unto the Most High 7 days. On the first day shall be Shabbat, and on the 8th day shall be Shabbat. And ye shall take you on the first day the boughs of goodly trees, branches of palms, and boughs of thick trees, and willows of the brook. And ye shall rejoice before the Most High, your Elohim, 7 days. And ye shall keep in a feast unto the Most High 7 days in the year. It shall be a statute forever.
Forever.
Your generations, ye shall celebrate it in the 7th month. Just like you said, whenever they're in captivity, they kept these holy high days.
In every captivity. Very important that you brought that out, because it said no servile work, meaning that even though you're in that captivity, no matter what captivity you're in, to keep this holy day. We don't have to wait till we get back to Israel or none of that stuff. We do it where we are. Yes, sir. Go ahead.
That also makes it important that you look at that calendar throughout the year so that you can get those days off and so you can observe these high holy days.
Yes.
Verse 42, ye shall dwell in booths 7 days. All of that are Israelites born shall dwell in booths. that your generation may know that I made the children of Israel do dwell in booths when I brought them out of the land of Egypt. I am the Most High, your Yah. And Moses declared unto the children of Israel the feast of the Most High.
Hallelujah. Let me say some things real quick about this. Some of y'all celebrated it. Some of y'all just getting back from camping. Some of y'all went into the wilderness together. Some of y'all doing it next week. Some of y'all doing it this week, like myself. All praises to the Most High. You're keeping it. But we do not have to do the sacrificial part anymore. We don't even have to worry about burning a bunch of meat and making a fire before him. We're just to remember it, keep it, and dedicate it as a sign between us and him for the world to see. And that seventh month, we're in the midst of Tishri right now, which is the seventh month and the 15th day. So is to depict that sojourn, that 40-year sojourn in the desert after the exodus from Egypt. So, you know, if you, some of you got to work this coming week and week after that. Some of you that already did it. Build a tent on your balcony. Build a tent in the backyard. Have dinner in huts. Get some palm leaves. Just do something that's commemorative towards this seventh and final feast, which is given to Israel, known as Sukkot, the Hebrew word, which is observed in the fall from the 15th to the 22nd of Tishri. So we do the best we can do. It's also known as the Festival of Ingathering. We know we're looking forward to the time where he's going to gather us from the four corners of the earth. So it's also commemorative in preparing ourselves, and it's an observance. So if they want to observe Santa Claus and observe 4th of July and all that, surely we can observe a high holy day in the month of Tishri, known as Sukkot, Feast of Ingathering, the Feast of Tabernacles.
And the Most High knew, he sent the HaMashiach here to sacrifice himself for us. He knew everything. He knew also that there would come a time when they would outlaw these or not allow you to do these offerings using animals or whatnot.
Right.
So, because you know now, if you try and do that now, you'll be all kind of people out in front of your house making noise.
That's right. And Yeshua became our sacrifice. He made the ultimate sacrifice right after Passover, where he died, and they hung him from a tree, and he became that final sacrifice to where we don't have to do it anymore. So he's the lamb that was without blemish that died. Yes.
Because the Most High said that, that animals can't suffice. I mean, that can't suffice for taking away your sin, animal blood.
Right.
And so that's why he sent, one reason he sent the HaMashiach.
And many of you need to know that the eighth day, after 7 days of Sukkot, there's an additional day called, these Khazars call it Shmini Asterot, which is in Leviticus 23:26. It was the end of an agricultural year. It's known as the eighth day celebration. In Israel, the eighth day of Sukkot combines the Asterot with Simchat Torah, and it's a reading and a celebration of the end of that autumn harvest. So you actually go 8 days. So 7 days for that entire Sukkot, and then you have a high holy celebration and convocation on that eighth day. So just remember that going forward for those of you who already kept it, if you didn't get a chance to commemorate that part, and for those of you coming into it. But like I said, hallelujah for these high holy days and this wonderful time of year. I have truly enjoyed I'm going to enjoy Tabernacles. Me and the wife already said we're building our tent. We're going to have dinner in the tent. We might not sleep in the tent every night, but we're going to put the tent up. Okay, she's going to sleep in the tent. So,
we're going to do something. I can see the look you're giving them, Sister Tamar.
Yeah. All praises to the Most High.
All praise.
Any comments on Tabernacles, Brother D?
No, like I said, it's just each year goes by here, I'm getting more and more in tune with the because last year was kind of haphazard. I did a Day of Atonement and some of the other things I did because I was just getting into it, and I really didn't have anybody to speak to about these days or whatnot, and I was trying to do some things on my own. But like I said, it's just it's good to really get the knowledge of these things and to get into them earnestly.
Yes, all praises, and I'm looking forward to maybe we'll get a chance to get together on that following eighth day and break bread.
Yes. Okay, that sounds good.
Revelations.
About
yeah, most definitely. Let me give one more in Revelations. It says, Revelations 21:3, and I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, "Behold, the tabernacle of the Most High is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people. And the Most High himself shall be with them and be their power, their Yah, their Hey Yah." Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Leviticus 26:11. Let me give another old prophecy. Leviticus 26:11. "Moreover, I will make my dwelling among you, and my soul will not reject you." And Exodus 29:45, "I will dwell among the sons of Israel and will be their power." Exodus 25:8, "Let them construct a sanctuary for me that I may dwell among them." This is all tabernacling. This is serious stuff, people. Understand the power of the tabernacle and him dwelling with us richly. I'm going to take a quick break. 1 minute break, and then we're going to come and talk about protection through the laws and statutes and commandments. That Babylon is falling. You know, it's interesting. I'm not going to get into current events, but I am so elated to be living amongst Bible prophecy being fulfilled. You know, we even take this little thing with the NFL and Kaepernick and this national anthem. We take that lightly, but the Most High is allowing this to cause a stir, a rumbling, and bring attention to the Hebrews. These comments by the president and everything. See, he's doing something. You know, I've been wondering how it's going to happen, but I'm watching it happen. That we're going to come into the knowledge of the people confessing that we are the people. You know, and I think, I'm trying to keep my focus. I got so many scriptures popping up in my head, but I think Paul talked about it when I want to talk about Numbers 22 and 24 as we go into protection, statutes, and laws and commandments. But real quick, I think if we look at Romans 11 chapter, I have put that down too. Romans 11:1 says, Say then, hath the Most High cast away his people? God forbid. For I also am an Israelite of the seed of Abraham, of the tribe of Benjamin. The Most High hath not cast away his people, which he foreknew. And there's a scripture in 2 Corinthians, no, Romans, the 8th chapter, that says, who he foreknew, he predestined. Who he predestined, he called. Who he called, he justified. Who he justified, he glorified. What shall we then say to this? If the Most High be for us, who can be against us? That's the precept for God hath not cast away his people, which he foreknew. You know what the scripture said of Elijah, how he maketh intercession to the Most High against Israel, saying, Most High, they have killed thy prophets, dig down thine altars, and I am left alone, and they seek my life. But what saith the answer of the Most High to him? I have reserved to myself 7,000 men. He told Elijah that. Like, what are you tripping for? I got a remnant. And then he goes on to say this, who have not bowed the knee to the image of Baal, Satan. And then 5 says, even so then, at this present time, also, there is a remnant according to the election of grace. That's Romans 11 and 5. There's an election of grace that's keeping a remnant of Israelites saved for the day that he will tabernacle with us. So we need to understand that that's how Israel's going to be saved, because of his grace, because he will have a remnant, because he prophesied it. Because he prophesied it, that it would come to pass.
And that word remnant is throughout the book, because I mentioned how when Shem was born, Noah said, Most High has brought me a remnant, or made me a remnant. And that was back when Noah, when Shem was born.
Yes. Absolutely. Absolutely. Even when Paul was speaking this, you jump down to verse 25. He said, for I would not, brethren, that you be ignorant of the mystery, lest you should be wise in your own conceits, that blindness in part is happened to Israel until the fullness of the Gentiles be come in. Before I go further, let me elaborate on that. That's the reason why a lot of our Hebrew brothers and sisters are not waking up, because they're still prophesied to be blind until the time of the Gentiles is fulfilled. You hear that, Brother D?
Hallelujah, I see that. I hear that and I see that.
If that's why, you don't beat yourself in the head trying to wake folks up. Only the Most High can wake them up. All you can do is plant or water. Some of our people will not wake up until the time of the Gentiles are fulfilled. And most everybody is going to see that we're the people, but that don't mean they're all going. Only a remnant is going, but 2/3 shall be destroyed. So that's why it said, so all Israel shall be saved, as it is written, there shall come out of Zion the deliverer, and shall turn away ungodliness from Jacob. But this is my covenant unto them, when I shall take away their sins. I shall take away their sins. And there's so much more to read in there, but I don't want to make a lesson out of Romans 11, but here's what he's saying. Many are going to go into the wilderness, and many will not come out of the wilderness. Some will not even make it to the wilderness, because they will be destroyed because they're not keeping the statutes, laws, and commandments. I'll tell you who all of Israel shall be saved, all of Israel that keep the laws. You're not Israel if you're not keeping these statutes, laws, and commandments. Hello?
That's right.
you're not. It is given to Israel. And then he's saying that the other remnant, once the Gentiles get their little time to come in, we're talking about the little John Browns that keep the holy days and commandments. They're the strangers that sojourn amongst us. Once that little time is over, whom Paul Shaul is an apostle unto, then the rest of the Israelites are going to wake up. And you're starting to see it, because everybody's starting to say, I'm not black, I'm not African American, this world, this nation is not for me, I don't fit in, why don't I fit? The truth is coming out, because we're prophesying the truth, and it's being known.
Exactly.
But these statutes, laws, and commandments is where the rubber meets the road. Go ahead, brother.
Exactly, and you're right about all the blindness out there, because you think about the two-thirds, you think about how many other people are caught up in the church system with the Sunday worship, and that's breaking the fourth commandment. You know, and so they have already distanced themselves from the Most High until they come around to realizing that Sunday worship is not of Yah, is of the church system, Constantine. They brought all that in that. You know, they saw it to where they would take the authority to say that we don't need to do it on Saturday anymore, less than Sunday.
Right. And on Saturday night, they busy goat riding. You know, Freemasons and Eastern stars doing rituals, hanging out in clubs, performing sex magic. And a lot of these people are blaspheming the Most High and the Ruach HaKodosh, the Holy Spirit. You know that's part of Israel that's definitely not going. So it don't mean all Israel will be saved and you blaspheming or you turned over to homosexuality or you a sodomite. No, that means you're not going until you
do. The Most High is, he's done with saving all of Israel. Because, like I was mentioning last week, you look at the Book of Kings and all the other places where throughout the Bible where they turned against the Most High and went after other gods. But the Most High, in his infinite, being the fact that he is so forgiving, he brought all Israel back. I mean, once they said, okay, we're going to turn back to you, then he forgave them all. But the Most High is at the point now that, you're going to show me that you want what I've got here, and you are going to be, strong with that. He wants strong people. He wants strong Hebrews.
And he's proving to you that you can do it, because he told you. And, Jeremiah 1:5, I quote it all the time. Before you were formed in your mother's belly, I knew you, called you, sanctified you to be a prophet unto the nations. You're working out your soul salvation that he put in you before the foundation of the earth. Let me quote again what I said in Romans, the 8th chapter. Whom he foreknew, he predestined. Them he predestined, he called. Them he called, he justified. Them he's justified, he's glorified. It's been predestined, but he's letting it manifest in you so you can see it, so that your faith will increase and know that you are a child of the Most High Yah. It has to be revealed in you. It has to be revealed in you.
Hallelujah.
Yes, yes. So let's comment on a few of these things about the protection through the commandments. John 15:10 says, if you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. Proverbs, quite a few there. Proverbs 7:1-3, my son, keep my words and treasure my commands within you. Keep my commandments and live, and my law as the apple of your eye. Bind them on your fingers and write them on the tablet of your heart. That is, he's telling you to memorize these scriptures and these precepts. And brothers, if you're not knowing these scriptures and these precepts, you're not memorizing them and working on it, we got a problem here.
Let me go to Revelation 3:10.
Go ahead.
Because thou hast kept the word of my patience, I also will keep thee from the hour of temptation which shall come upon all the world to try them to them that dwell on the earth. Because you're keeping his words and his commandments.
Man, read that one again. That's the divine protection that's going to happen in the tribulation when these bombs that Ezekiel prophesied go falling and dropping. So read that again, brother.
Okay, Revelation 3:10. Because thou hast kept the word of my patience, I also will keep thee from the hour of temptation, which shall come upon all the world to try them that dwell upon the earth.
That's powerful right there. That says it all.
Because the Most High is there for us We just need to seek him and believe in him.
This is imperative to you making it through the tribulation, people. These commandments are the only thing that's going to keep you, which is why we're preaching so hard about keeping the holy days, keeping the Sabbath, and doing it right, not misusing it, because it takes us right back to Psalms 91. It says, Psalms 91, verse 7. Let me just go down to that. 1,000 shall fall at thy side, and 10,000 at thy right hand, but it shall not come nigh thee. Mm-hmm. And that just coincides with what you just read in Revelations 3 and 10. We're going to see people dropping dead from nuclear devastation, radiation, wormwood in the water, sickness and pestilence in the land. Do you know how much pestilence is hovering in the air in Houston, Florida, and Puerto Rico right now? And that they're spraying the people because they say mosquitoes? Yeah, but the Most High is saying, I'm going to protect my people that are keeping my laws.
So that's why it's important to keep those laws.
Right. Let's read a few more verses on these laws.
Okay, well,
I got another. Go ahead.
Okay, Brother B. Okay,
yes, go ahead.
Let me go into Joshua 22 and 5.
Okay.
Take diligent heed to do the commandment and the law, which Moses, the servant of Yah, charge you to love the Most High your Elohim, and to walk in his ways, and to keep his commandments, and to cleave unto him, and to serve him with all your heart and with all your soul. And you have to commit here.
Yes.
You can't just be half doing it. Well, I'm gonna go ahead and obey this commandment, but I don't really have to do that one. No, you've got
right.
to be. Admit it. You can't pick
right.
and choose.
Right. Right. And we are so quick to make excuses for the ones that we don't want to keep. And
exactly.
that's the way of carnal man when you start making excuses. This is all about obedience, brothers and sisters. Obedience is better than sacrifice. It is more powerful than the sacrifice. Obey. The Shema. Shema in Hebrew means to listen and obey. That is our Shema, the Hebrew word, to listen to these commandments and obey them. Proverbs 6 and 23 says the commandment is a lamp and the law is light.
Mm-hmm.
Reproofs of instruction are the way of life. 19 and 16 says he who keeps the commandment keeps his soul. But he who is careless of his ways will die. So what you just said, Brother D, will lead to your death and destruction because you don't want to keep these commandments, especially when you know to do right and doeth it not, that is sin.
Most definitely.
I have more here, Proverbs 3 and 1. My son, do not forget my law, but let your heart keep my commands. For length of days and long life and peace, they will add to you. That's how you live. That's how you have a long life. Let's see. Psalms 81, 13 and 14. Oh, that my people would listen to me, that Israel would walk in my ways. I would soon subdue their enemies and turn my hand against their adversaries. If you will just listen to me and follow my laws, I'll take care of your enemies. But since you're not living the way I told you to live, your enemies will be multiplied. According to Deuteronomy 28, there are blessings and curses. Brothers and sisters, when we start keeping the commandments, we ensue blessings upon our lives, and we repeal the curses off of our lives, even in this captivity, this final captivity, this end of the Edomites' world. We can be protected, exactly. Kept, and prepared. Go ahead.
Okay, let me piggyback on that. It says Psalms 103:17. But the mercy of the Most High is from everlasting to everlasting upon them that fear him, and his righteousness unto the children's children, to such as keep his covenant, and to those that remember his commandments to do them. So his protection goes from everlasting to everlasting, as long as you're keeping those commandments.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. All these great scriptures we're reading is pretty much summing up the fact of these few sayings right here. We will receive life. We will keep and preserve our soul. We'll have a longer life on this earth. We'll have great peace of mind, like a river. Things will go well with our children. It will keep us from perishing. It will subdue our enemies. Our way will be made prosperous, and we will have good success, meaning everything we lay our hands to do, he will bless it and prosper it. Our heart will be rejoiced. Our eyes will be open, and the law will warn us and keep us out of harm's way. Protection. Keeping the law. Protection in keeping these commandments. So anybody that's sitting up here telling you that you don't have to keep the commandments, you need to go get your shotgun. Say, man, you trying to kill me.
Mm-hmm.
You trying to send me straight to the gates of hell.
Exactly, exactly. Brother B, did you read 1 John's chapter 2?
Yeah, I love the quote. I love the quote every week. I didn't read it. You go ahead and read it. 1 John 2:3-4. Okay.
Yeah, I'm going to go down to 5.
Okay.
1 John 2:3. And hereby we do know that we know him, if we keep his commandments. He that saith, I know him, and keepeth not his commandments, is a liar, and the truth is not in him. But whoso keepeth his word in him, verily is the love of Yah perfected. Hereby know we that are in him. So if you're not keeping those commandments, you say you love the Most High, you're a liar.
You're a liar. And we know who's the father of all lies.
Exactly. You know, you're not fooling the Most High. You might be fooling yourself, but you're not fooling the Most High.
Man, do you know how powerful that is? That means on Sunday morning, the majority of them people is all liars.
Exactly.
A cathedral filled with liars that don't even know the Most High.
Exactly. I mean,
that's all right.
You know, that's a guarantee ticket to the two-thirds.
Right. Right.
Being part of the two-thirds.
That's why we have an obligation to be a light in the midst of that darkness and let them know the truth and keep crying out loud about these commandments. Takes us right back to the beginning of the show that we was talking about. Will you take a stand like the Maccabean brothers? It only took 7 of them to wipe everybody out. And the Most High gave them supernatural strength to do so.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, will you take a stand in this hour and keep the commandments amongst a heathenish, Gentile, rebellious generation that's going to tell you don't have to keep them? You can eat a pork sandwich every now and then. Go on down to the crab shack and have you some crab and pray over it. Yeah. You know, and you know, all this heathenistic stuff. No, take a stand, brothers and sisters, with these commandments. This is life. This is strength. This is power. This is what makes you Kodesh, my word, makes you set apart. This is what makes you a peculiar person. This is why people scratch their head when they see you. This is why people won't mess with you, because they know you got something on you, which is the Ruach HaKodesh, which comes when you keep these statutes, laws, and commandments.
Crab shack, Brother V.
Man, that's a house of sin right there, boy. That crab shack. Hebrew, and it'd be filled with Hebrews in there, tan it up, got a bib on, and they just sinning like crazy.
Crazy.
Let me have a garlic crab. Yeah.
Yeah, well, you know, we used to be up in there.
That's right.
Oh man, come on, man! I had to have that gumbo.
Mm-hmm.
Crawfish.
Alligator.
Okay, are we mustard? That's enough of that. Yeah.
Before you go, let me do Proverbs 28:9. Say, he that turneth away his ear from hearing the law, even his prayer shall be abomination.
Yeah, that's one of my favorites too. It's making it clear. The ones that say, I don't have to hear, keep the commandments. Your prayer is an abomination to the Most High. Hey, let me say something to you people, you Hebrews. Don't be praying with all these Christians that's not keeping the commandments, because they're sending up abominations. Don't be standing in no prayer circle with a bunch of people holding hands and transferring demons from person to person. Don't do it, because that prayer is an abomination. You don't want no part of that.
Exactly. It's offensive to the Most High.
Right. Yep.
As you read earlier, there's so many of us that are blinded.
We're blinded, and it's up to us to wake up, because our life depends on it. Our life depends on it.
I don't know about you, but I don't want to be backstroking in that lake of fire.
Going
triple flip.
Yeah, ain't nobody going. They're going to be singed, burning, and screaming. It's nothing to play with, brothers and sisters. This is your opportunity to do right. And he's going to ask you, what did you do with your time on the earth for the kingdom? What did you do for the kingdom? Come on, Hebrews. You can't just sit here behind the computer. You can't just watch a few videos and think you're doing something for the kingdom. You have to bless other Hebrews, wake up Hebrews, promote this word, get behind somebody else who's promoting it, and build the kingdom, because he's going to judge you, and he's going to find out if he ever knew you, according to Matthew 7:25. Mm-hmm. And he's only going to be able to say he knows you if you kept the commandments, the holy days, gathered together, had the convocations, everything. This is a matter of life and death. I'm imploring you. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of the Most High. I beseech you, therefore. You don't want to go to that day or get hit by a car or drop dead and be found at the judgment on your way to hell. You don't want to hear them words.
And just like, when you first come in the truth, you're learning, you're hearing, but, you know, eventually you have to get off those sidelines and start trying to bring, planting those seeds and getting other Hebrews to come into this knowledge.
Right. Because according to Ezekiel, you don't want blood on your hands.
Mm-hmm.
You want the Most High to look at you and say, he's going to say, look at your dirty hands. It's because of you that other man going to hell, because you wouldn't tell him about me. You wouldn't tell him to keep the commandments. You going to. Got blood all on your shirt, on your hands, from a bunch of folks that went to hell because you didn't tell them.
Mm-hmm.
At least try to tell them, people. You know, I got a friend of mine that had passed away from here. I used to always try to tell him. He didn't want to hear it. So, you know, everybody going to put him in heaven at his funeral on Monday. They're going to put him in heaven. I ain't putting him nowhere. I know he didn't want to hear the truth. He wanted to hold on to the traditions of men and Sunday morning. But I still kept my commandments in his face. I let him know I was keeping it and told him, you better not be eating that pork. Why are you eating that pork? told him that fornication and adultery was wrong. Take a stand so the blood is not on your hands, because if I had not said nothing to that man before he died, I'd have blood on my hands.
Exactly. And you don't want
serious stuff, people. Serious stuff, people. Cry out loud and spare not. Lift up your voice like a trumpet in Zion. Get loud with them. Get loud. A trumpet is loud. Not like a violin in Zion. A trumpet. Get loud with them. You going to hell, you keep eating that damn pork. I'm just, hey, this is serious business.
Hey, but bro, right, so. that pork tastes good.
Oh,
what that is you're turning to the flesh. You're living in the flesh. And we're commanded to lift up the spirit and not live in the flesh.
Right. Absolutely. So let me comment on the book of Numbers. I'm not going to read chapter 22, 23, and 24. The reason I wanted to comment on this because it coincides with the blessings of Israel, whom the Most High has blessed, no man can curse. If you look at the story in Numbers 22, 23, and 24, you hear about Balaam, where the king of the Moabites, who was said unto the elders of Midian and that company, Balak, the son of Zippor, they sent the messengers because they wanted Balaam to curse the children of Israel that were coming out of Egypt, because he thought they were going to come against him, and true enough, they are. We'll see. You see that in chapter 24. I like how Balaam even said this in Numbers 24 and 1. And when Balaam saw, this is after Balaam kept blessing them. And I'm going to tell you why he didn't curse them. Because he hired Balaam to curse them. And the Most High got on Balaam and said, you ain't cursing nobody. Because when I bless, no man can curse. So, but in 24, and when Balaam saw that it pleased the Most High to bless Israel, see, he went not as at other times to seek enchantments on them, but he set his face toward the wilderness. Verse 2, and Balaam lifted up his eyes, and he saw Israel abiding in his tents according to their tribes, and the Spirit of the Most High came upon him. And he took up this parable and said, Balaam, the son of Beor, hath said, and the man whose eyes are open hath said, verse 4, he hath said, which heard the words of the Most High? Which saw the visions of the Almighty falling into a trance, but having his eyes open? How goodly are thy tents, O Jacob, and thy tabernacles, O Israel. That was another vision of tabernacles that he saw, because he literally saw them keeping tabernacles, and he saw them separated by their tribes. But let me go back to Numbers 22. He was hired to curse the children of Israel. And every time he tried to do it, the Most High was like, I'll kill you if you try to curse my people. Because in chapter 23, verse 8, he said, how shall I curse whom the Most High have not cursed? Or how shall I defy whom the Most High have not defied? For from the top of the rocks I see him, and from the hills I behold him. Let me let you know something else. He also said, and shall not be reckoned among the nations. When Balaam, the first time Balaam went to try and go with the Midianites and with Balak to curse Israel, he was on his ass, and an angel stood in the road, and Balaam couldn't see it. But the ass saw the angel with a sword getting ready to kill him for what he was getting ready to do. So he kept beating his donkey, the ass, every time he was running out of the path. The Most High came upon the ass, caused it to speak to Balaam and said, don't you see that angel over there getting ready to kill us? Why do you keep beating me? He actually allowed the donkey to speak to him. You keep beating me. I've been a faithful donkey to you, faithful ass to you my whole life, served you. You think I'm just doing this to do this? And the angel told him that ass had saved his life. You see this in Numbers 22. Because he was getting ready to go and try and destroy the people and curse them. And the Most High sent an angel to kill him. And the ass could see it. Y'all better watch out about these animals. They can see things that you can't see.
Exactly.
So,
you see that.
And listen, I'm going to read it to you, Numbers 22 and 30. And the ass said unto Balaam, am not I thine ass, upon which thou hast ridden ever since I was thine unto this day? Was I ever wont to do so unto thee? And he said, no. Then the Lord opened the eyes of Balaam, and he saw the angel of the Most High standing in the way, and his sword drawn in his hand, and he bowed down his head and fell flat on his face. And the angel of the Most High said unto him, wherefore hast thou smitten thine ass three times? Behold, I went out to withstand thee, because the way is perverse before me. And the ass saw me and turned from me three times. Unless she had turned from me, surely now also I would have killed you. He said, I would have slain thee and saved her alive. And Balaam said unto the angel of the Most High, I have sinned, for I knew not that thou stoodest in the way against me. Now therefore, if it displease thee, I will get me back again. And the angel of the Lord said unto Balaam, go with the men, but only speak what the Most High, I'm paraphrasing now, is going to give you to speak in that hour. Go with them, let them think that you're going to curse the children of Israel, but you will not do it. You're going to speak what the Lord tells you to say in that hour. And he was about to kill it. And so that's why every time he got there, he began to bless the children of Israel. The Most High wouldn't allow him to curse them, and Balak got upset. And I'm saying all that to say a bunch of things to Israel. What the Most High has blessed, the people that keep the commandments, nobody can curse. And even in this hour right now, they're trying to come against us Hebrews and us Israelites. You better know that they're having a Balaam experience. Every time they try to come against us, they're being knocked off their ass or something's happening to keep them from destroying us. Why? Because the Most High has a remnant and we're blessed and they can't touch us or curse us. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. And then when they talk about blessing the house of Israel, you got to make sure you're blessing the right house of Israel. Because you got
there you go.
Yeah, you got all these churches sending all this money over to the king's lives every year because they think they're blessing Yah's chosen people. But they're sending that money to the synagogue of Satan.
But, Brother D, that's the trick that they played on the churches to bless the Khazars. But these Edomites and these Amalekites, which are your Zionist Jews, they know who the people are.
They
keep trying to attack us like Balaam and curse us, but they can't. And they know that they better take care of us. And some of them are trying to keep blessings by trying to take care of us on the side. They figure they're blessing us because they put a Negro on their football team, a basketball team, and let him play, and here's a couple of $1 million. And, you know, they trying to keep some protection on them. But you're absolutely right. Don't fall into the pit that the Christian church does on TBN, when the Word Network talking about send your money to Israel. No, that Israel's getting ready to be wiped off the face of the earth and purged and prepared for us.
And you're actually sending your money to Satan. You're not sending it to the right people.
Right. Right. Absolutely. All praises to the Most High. Got to keep these commandments, brothers and sisters, so that you could be receiving the blessings of Abraham, the blessings of his seed, and to ensure that you are part of the seed, the remnant, the elect that will tabernacle amongst him and with him. Hallelujah. That's all
Hallelujah.
I had for the day, Brother D. Yeah.
Well, like I said, it's been an excellent show. We're able to talk about the High Holy Days, which is important to us and something that, you know, all Hebrews need to start remembering. And so throw away those pagan holidays and get with the holidays that the Most High has given us.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. It's a matter of life and death.
Exactly.
All right, brother. Enjoyed the time fellowshipping with you, and May you have a blessed Sukkot, Feast of Tabernacles. I'll be fellowshipping with you, talking with you offline.
Okay. And so I want to say to all the brothers, all the Hebrews, brothers and sisters out there, and that they enjoy this blessed day that the Most High has brought to us.
Todah Rabah. The only for sure obstacle to truth is to think you already have it. Truth is a journey, not a destination. Shabbat Shalom, Lahitre Ot.
What is that, Jim?
Todah. All right. Have a good day.
Lucifer, son of the morning, I'm going to chase you out of earth. With your gun, because we left ya with your bomb.